Welcome everyone to episode one of the Flipcast. We are super, super excited to have the incredible Rajesh Srinivasan. Rajesh heads the TMT practice at Rajan Tan Asia and has been advising clients on legal, regulatory, and policy matters relating to technology, cybersecurity, data protection, telecommunications, electronic commerce, cloud computing, digital forensics, and digital media for over 20 years. And he is also the director of Rajan Tan Technologies. Rajesh, welcome. So we're delighted to have you, and let's get started with some questions.
Sure.
Okay, Rajesh, so how about we start with you telling us a bit more about Rajan Tan's innovation journey?
I think what might be interesting maybe is to start with the more recent triggers to change. And these triggers are really driven by the fact that the profession as a whole is changing, as opposed to just, you know, we have a specific need to become more efficient in this area.
Yeah. And that's what it should be. It should be markets driven, right? It's
market
about
driven.
Yeah.
And that process started, you know, probably more intensely about 3 years or so ago. Some would trace it back to maybe 5 years ago. And it really became very clear to me and a few other partners in the firm that we needed palpable change beyond just buying a new piece of software and installing it. About 3 years plus, when I first read the BCG report, Boston Consulting Group came up with a very good report talking about how there will be palpable change. That report, rather, outlined what is known now as the inverted pyramid model. So lesser reliance on lawyers per se in the future law firm, and more reliance on paralegals, more reliance on legal technologists and knowledge engineers. And that would be the end game, you know, moving forward. That made a lot of sense to me. Didn't make sense to a lot of other lawyers at the time. But it made a lot of sense to me because you could see that a lot of the work that we do can quite easily be commoditized, which means that we need to be able to move differently from a value chain standpoint. We can't be charging out hourly rates for lawyers for work that really is, in a sense, no longer bespoke, but commoditized. And I think that realization happened very early on in the corporate practices, where clients were coming back and saying, look, guys, you know, we know it's the same contract regurgitated 10 times or 50 times. How can we come up with a more sensible pricing model? And we look back at our own cost base, and then we realize there's a disconnect. And that's what really drove, from an economic standpoint, the change. Technically, I think also there were new technologies that were coming in, like artificial intelligence, that allowed us to really change quite fundamentally the way in which we use technology. So it goes beyond just installing Microsoft Office, for example, or putting in place a document management solution, to really having a tool that augments our legal thinking. That's a very fundamental change. And when we start going down that route, we realize that, look, the same strategies of buying, installing, leaving to the IT guys to take care of this will not work. We need to invest a lot more time, resources, and more importantly, lawyers' time, lawyers' resources, to make this new set of technologies work for the firm. And that's what led to us taking this new wave of change very, very seriously and recognizing that the old strategy of leaving to IT guys to take care of it will not work.
In this journey, where did you start? So, you know, it's there are just so many places and so many things that, that you can do. How did you guys kind of find your north, or how did you establish your priorities?
We're fortunate in a sense. The firm has always embraced technology. We're all the way back to VK Raja's time, when we installed the first document management solution. And that was about 18 years ago, just to put things in perspective. With that sort of time frame in place, I think the firm itself was never averse to adoption of technology. That was a good thing, so I didn't have that hump to go over. But the change, I say again, in terms of the way in which we need to look at deploying technology now is different in the sense, well, in two key ways. One, we need to look at interoperability a lot more than we did before. We could just buy simple tools, you know, to address individual problems, Office to take care of document solutions, and let's say a case management solution to take care of cases, etc. And we didn't really worry about whether these tools spoke to one another. Interoperability became one of the core issues in this wave of change. And every procurement decision we make is based on whether or not these systems can talk to other systems. Fortunately, at this point in time, a lot of solutions are built with APIs. So they are inherently designed to be able to talk to one another. So I think that really helped accelerate our adoption of IT this time around. And more importantly, by making these tools talk to one another, for example, being able to have our document management solution speak to our case management solution is a huge change. So, you know, you have one that takes care of the whole case management process, the other one taking care of fundamental document management meant we save a lot of time. We save one copy of the document in two instances as opposed to two different copies. So there are both cost benefits, but more importantly, there are logical workflow benefits by integrating the software. So integration became one of the key cornerstones. And the second one, as I mentioned a bit earlier, was artificial intelligence coming into play. Because then now these tools are no longer just aids that help you to an end, but rather almost the way I characterize it with my other partners is another partner, an augmentation of our legal services and the way in which we provide legal services to clients. That, again, required us to understand that you cannot just say, look, guys, I want AI, get it for me. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
You build the systems. And build by build, again, I don't mean technically build it out, but you train the AI systems to become your instance of artificial intelligence that works well based on your workflow, your needs, and your client's needs. With those two things coming into play, we then realized that this wave of change is not one that can be managed by IT in isolation. It's bringing together our knowledge management team, our IT team, and a group of lawyers who understand the change, who are able to articulate very clearly to the partnership and to the rest of the firm why they need to be integral part of this change by participating in it.
How do you overcome the lawyers tend to be a bit impatient when it comes to technology, right? So like, how do you overcome that resistance? So maybe showcasing quick wins is one of the strategies.
Yes, that's so important. And the other one is communication so that people know what's going on. And so we need to communicate clearly to them, look, this is not acceptable from a security standpoint. It's not acceptable from the perspective of the firm being able to own its own IP and know what work product is being created by the firm as a whole. And communicate that to them clearly that there is no step back. It's not an option. That's a difficult thing to do. But again, by making the process as painless as possible and not completely shutting the door, being able to make one or two allowances where necessary helps. So I think having a very good listening ear to people's needs and trying to accommodate only to the extent it's acceptable under your security policy lends, you know, makes it a lot easier for this to be rolled out.
What would you say is that project or that experience for you? Or maybe something, maybe there are many, but in the last year or something that you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, I think the document management journey would probably be one of the better ones. We had to basically migrate from one platform to another. You know, we're very staunch users of iManage. We still support the platform very much. But for our current needs at that point in time and moving forward, we felt that, you know, we needed to move to a different platform. And then that journey was one that was difficult technically because you have to look back to trying to bring out about 20 years of data and migrating it to a brand new platform. So the technical challenge of doing that with zero data loss was a big win for us. And we're very happy with that journey. And then beyond that, getting it adopted by the users was the second challenge. And that challenge was also one that we overcame by taking very practical approaches of, well, basically, again, removing options in a phased manner. So it wasn't a cold turkey thing where next day, oh, look, guys, we can no longer save on the hard disk anymore. You know, we gave people ample time, communicated very clearly to them why this is the best way forward. Spend lots and lots of time explaining why the cloud is so good. And wherever you are in the world, whether you're at home, in the office, you will now have full access to all of your documents. That was a very powerful message for us to send across. In addition to this, what was happening at the same time was our migration to a full Office 365 environment. That's another big success in our minds. Again, a huge amount of data that needed to be handed over, including emails. Yeah. And we were switching from Lotus Notes to Office 365 to a full Outlook environment. And that, again, was a massive change. We did that with zero data loss.